Very good afternoon to Sharon Champion. G'day, Sharon.
G'day, Ron. How are you?
Very well indeed. What is Akun?
Akun is Khmer for thank you.
You're welcome. You're most welcome, and you're certainly welcome to Rotary Radio. Now, you're, I take it, a teacher at Kerrang?
I'm actually a speech pathologist employed by the Department of Education, so I do work in schools, but I am a Rotarian.
Well, that's important. And joining you today are Andrew Kelly, who is... Andrew, good afternoon to you.
How are you going?
Good, and in case you're wondering, yes, the speakerphone is working fine.
I think that's all right, man.
All right, so the test is over, mate. I should also point out that Andrew was the Ducks of Kerrang Technical High at the end of last year.
So congratulations, Andrew.
Thanks.
Well done.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And the third member of the team is Megan O'Brien. Good afternoon, Megan.
Hi.
Now, Megan, are you in your just year 12 as well? I suppose you have to have been, don't you?
Yeah, I finished last year.
Yeah, right.
Well, later on in the program, we're going to be talking to Corinna Finch from the Rotary Club of Swan Hill Sunrise about their experiences in this particular alternate schoolies program, I suppose, for want of a better term. Sharon, how did it all begin?
Back in about 2006, one of the teachers at Kerrang Tech High approached our Rotary Club and said, my daughter's going into year 12 next year. I really don't want her going to schoolies. I think Rotary's in a good position to use some connections and develop an alternative program that we can encourage our students to go to. So that's how it all began. It was a bit of a challenge. 2007, we decided we'd put our first team together, and we were going to Sri Lanka. We've got a number of teachers at Kerrang Technical High School that are Sri Lankan, and so we had connections on the ground. I'm not sure whether it's thanks to the Tamil Tigers or not, but the Tamil Tigers bombed the airport in Colombo, so we sort of decided it wasn't a safe place to really take the students. And at the last minute we thought, well, let's try Cambodia. So we ventured there in 2007. We took 9 students and 10 leaders, and it was actually Andrew's sister, older sister, was one of the team members from that year. So we had a bit of overkill with leaders to start with, but from there it's grown, and we've gone on every year, and this year we took 30 local students and teamed up with an extra 10 from Darwin. So we had 40 students altogether.
Can you tell me what the leaders, about the leaders, what's their role?
Many and varied, and Andrew and Megan have probably got some very different ideas about what the leaders do and should have done.
Are these like teachers and Rotarians, or?
Yeah, look, to start with, it was teachers and Rotarians. Each school involved has to provide a leader. So Kerrang Technical High, Kahuna Secondary College, and the Darwin School, Northern Territory Open Education Centre, all provide a teacher. 2 Rotarians minimum is what we try and get to go.
Yes.
2012, we actually had 2 community members come along, so they didn't have a connection directly. One of them was a parent. He'd had 3 children who'd been on the trip and decided that he didn't want to miss out, so he came along. And ironically, his wife put her name down to be a leader this year. So we're spreading out and trying to get a few community members along with the school support, because we just believe in a small community like Kerrang, if the project isn't supported by the community, then it's not going to be sustainable.
I was thinking while listening to you, Sharon, that in a place like Kerrang, obviously schoolies week wouldn't have been a problem at the best of times, would it?
Not locally, but we certainly have groups of students that every year either go to Gold Coast or down to Lawn. And I think, I mean, Andrew was in a situation this year where, well, most of his mates went to the Gold Coast. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a group of I think it was 10 of them. They organised a house down on the Gold Coast, and they all paid, and they went and stayed at the Gold Coast for a week. And I had the option to either go to the Gold Coast or go to Cambodia, but in hindsight, I would not have picked any other way to go.
Well, what was your peer group reaction to you saying, no, I'm not going to be part of the play group, I'm going to Cambodia?
Well, from their point of view, they did not understand it at all. They didn't really have any concept. They just thought, well, why would you go overseas when you can go to the Gold Coast and can see it as that? They just couldn't conceive that there was other things to do other than go and drink for a week. So But after a little while, there was one of my other mates, he came with us on the trip, and we both just said, well, we're going overseas, we're not going to go up there. And they accepted it and said, well, your loss, but I don't think so. So
Andrew, when you had your sister go, and she obviously came back with a good feeling about the whole thing, and that did that sort of tip you over a bit?
Yeah, I've had my older sister was one of the first to go, and then the year after, my second older sister went as well.
Right.
Both of them come back and said it was just one of the greatest things they've ever done, and you know, they said you can't miss out on it, you know, it's you're missing a great opportunity if you do it. So I'd always thought that I'd go to Cambodia and that.
And I was going to say, Megan, what was your motivation? I mean, Andrew obviously had elder sisters went over there. What drove you to go along?
Well, I'm the oldest in my family and have had no relations go on this trip yet.
Right.
But just hearing the stories that everyone had and what they've done, and I'd seen so many photos from just friends and people that had been, and they could not say a bad thing about it. So I had no intention of even going to schoolies to start off with. None of my friends were really going, so
right.
Figured why not go to Cambodia? Like, it's seriously just a trip of a lifetime, so there was no other option for me, really.
And looking at some of the comments, in, we've had a report from the 2007 group go, and also I looked on your blog, and some of the comments, you know, that some of the students were extremely affected by what they saw there, and it's sort of like you can look at movies, can't you, and you can look at DVDs and photos, but being there, you can't sort of match that, I guess.
I think you're right, and from a leader's perspective, to see the change that the students undergo personally in 2 weeks is something you could never have planned for on a trip like this. But we've said to parents a few times, you'll see a different son or daughter come back through the gates at Tullamarine Airport, and they sort of take it with a little bit of a grain of salt to start with.
But right.
99% of the time we've got families saying, I don't know what it is, they walk differently, or they look differently, or you know, they're not on their brother's back like they were before they went.
Right.
And there's a bit more understanding, and they're the things that you can't really measure.
Well, perhaps for the benefit of our listeners, could you just give us a rundown on what the itinerary or what you actually do while you're over there, just so we can sort of get a feeling for what's involved in this trip?
Pretty full on. I've got nods and smirks coming from both Megan and Andrew when I say that.
Well, everyone can contribute.
Basically, it's 12 days.
Yes.
We fly via Singapore and we meet up with our Darwin student teammates.
Mm-hmm.
Fly into Siem Reap, and from there we go straight into 3 days of project work.
Right.
This year we build a bike shed.
Mm-hmm.
And Megan was heavily involved with pouring concrete the Cambodian way.
Okay.
And, oh, what's that like, Megan? Cambodian way to pour concrete.
Getting somebody else to do it.
I wish. No, it was buckets of sand.
Yes.
Some heavy bags of cement mix.
Yes.
Lots of shovels. No such thing as a cement mixer.
So a stirring motion happens, does it?
So that was 3 days there, and at the same time we were building a shelter for the agricultural school, which we built 2 years ago. One of the other teams had been there and built that, so we're sort of value-adding each year.
Mm-hmm.
So the construction of the shelter meant shifting concrete pylons that would have, well, look, we estimate, what, 100, 120 kilos each pylon.
Mm. Wow.
Half a dozen people to manoeuvre. We had to dig the foundations for those, get those stood upright, then put shea cloth across the top. So again, 3 days of fairly heavy going. We then had a day of touring at Angkor Wat, the site there, and that's probably, the kids don't realise it, we don't realise it, it's probably an 8 to 10k walk that's done during the day.
Sharon, I'd like to thank you and both Andrew and Megan for joining us on Rotary Radio today. It's certainly been an eye-opener of a program. And
fantastic.
Certainly the Rotary Club of Kerrang shouldn't be left out of the mix either, because they would have played a very important part in coordinating everything that went on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Rotary Club are behind this project 100%, but so is the local community, and that's what makes it work.